strong deliverer. In him I love Israel. Glory, 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 glory. Jesus, bless his Savior.
From the time we get up and open our eyes until we lay our heads down at night, he's worthy, worthy, worthy. Hallelujah. Even while we're resting at night and the angels of the Lord are watching and protecting us, he's worthy to be praised. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Go ahead and give him some thanks this morning before he woke you up, amen. Somebody ought to give God praise simply for that reason alone, amen. He is a good God and he is worthy to be praised, amen. Amen. Let us bow our heads. Our Father God, we come this morning to say thank you. I thank you for your presence, for we can feel you here. And Master, because we can feel you, we know that we are going to be assured of one thing. We will not be the same when we leave as we were when we came. Because if we sit in your presence, something about us must change. Because we are not perfect, we find that there are issues within us that needs to be changed, that needs to be removed. And we know that if we are in your presence, we know you'll do just that. You even told Moses to kick off his shoes, for there's holy ground that he's standing on. Today we're standing on holy ground, believing that you will change us, make us better, and improve us for the kingdom of God. We ask now these blessings in your Son, Jesus Christ's holy name, we do now pray. Let every heart say, amen. 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 We'll have now hymn 508.
Morning. Our responsive reading is a statement of faith found in the back of the hymnals that is reading in unison. We believe in God, the eternal Spirit, Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, and our Father. And to his deeds we testify. He calls the worlds into being, creates man in his own image, and sets before him the ways of life and death. He seeks in holy love to save all people from the aims of sin. He judges men and nations by his righteous will, declared through prophets and apostles. In Jesus Christ, the man of Nazareth, our crucified and risen Lord, he has come to us and shared our common lot, conquering sin and death, and reconciling the world to himself. He bestows upon us his Holy Spirit, creating anew in the Church of Jesus Christ, binding the faith of the faithful people of all ages, tongues, and races. He calls us to his church to accept the cost of joy and discipleship, to be his servants in the service of men, to proclaim the gospel to all the world, and resist the powers of evil, to share in Christ's baptism and need at his table, to join him in his passion and victory. He promises to all who trust him forgiveness of sins and fullness of grace, courage in the struggle for justice and peace, his presence in trial and rejoicing, and eternal life in his kingdom, which has no end, blessing and honor, glory and power be unto him. Amen.
your praise. For you have done such a marvelous thing.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Come on now.
For someone so wretched, yet my soul you have redeemed. No one else could do it.
That's right, that's right.
No one could care. Yet you thought my soul was worth it.
Yes.
So you gave your only son.
You gave.
Thank you, Lord. I just need a few people who know how wonderful God is to give God some praise today. Wait. I said I just need a few people who knows how wonderful God is. I need a few people who know that God will make a way out of no way. I need just a few people who will believe God at his word. I need a few people who don't mind praising God because he's been so wonderful to you. Somebody should give God some praise in his house today. I don't know about you, but when I think about the marvelous and wonderful things that he has done in my life, I find it hard to be quiet. I find it hard to be still. I find it hard to sit down. Because as you know, I like to say, the Bible says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. And the redeemed should always give God some praise. Amen. Hallelujah. I can understand it if we had a God who has no power. I can understand it if we had a God who doesn't show up for us. I can understand it if we had a God who did not make a way out of no way for us. But since we have a God that does all those things, we ought to be able to give him just a little bit of praise sometime. Hallelujah. I'm trying to control myself so we can move on. But it makes me think about where I come from. A single household with 9 children. She raised them all by herself and got 4 preachers out of the bunch and 1 on the way. Lord, somebody give God some praise. Only a God can do that. Amen. When people counted her out, God counted her in. And somebody need to give God some praise because God counting you in right now. Hallelujah. 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 God is so good. Amen. Amen. While the spirit is high, those who are students, make your way to the altar. Parents, make your way to the altar. For those of you who don't know what an altar is, the altar is up front. That's not funny. Don't laugh. That's not funny. We live now in a time where a lot of folks don't understand the words that come from old church. You see, the old church, you guys are used to that. But we are no longer in the old church. Amen. And so parents come to the altar, children come to the altar, teachers come to the altar, principals come to the altar. Anyone who's a professional that deal with MPS come to the altar. The Bible says that we should always pray. Amen. And we now have souls who are about to go into situations that we pray are safe. But if we look at the history of our country, we're understanding that these places that used to be safe are no longer safe. But one thing we can always do is to send them to those places where God's covering. When God's covering is in place, I don't care where you are safe. Anybody here believe that today? Anybody know that God will keep you when no one else can keep you? Glory be to God. Let us bow our heads. Father God, we come this morning, Master, to say thank you. We're not going to pray as if things have not been done. We're going to pray as if things have already been done. For you said that we can speak life into every situation. And this morning we come to speak life into all of these souls' situation when they return back to the school. We know that the enemy is prepared, but we know that you are also prepared. We send them back with the covering of Jesus. We right now ask, Master, that the blood of Jesus cover them. So when the enemy see them coming, he don't see them, but he see the power of Jesus with them. Master, we believe that these things can be done because you said that we can ask for things. And you said if we ask and don't doubt, it shall be done. We come this morning asking for your covering, believing that it shall be done. We don't care what the enemy's plans are. Your plans are greater. We don't care what the enemy's power is. Your power is much greater. We don't care who the enemy knows. You know all people. And you know all things, so we're sending them in your covering. Ask you that you keep them. Just as you kept David, Lord God, when Saul was searching for him, God, you took a spider and made a web to keep Saul from seeing David hiding in a cave. Hide them in the cave of your bosom. Keep them behind your shield. Keep them in your presence. So when the enemy thinks that he can touch them, he'll find out that he has no power against them. We come today claiming these things to be done. And Master, for those who are teachers, give them the spirit of love. Give them the spirit of fellowship so they can convict the hearts of those who they are touching. For they are not only teaching them about the world, but they are also teaching them about you. And Master, for those who are students, we pray that their ears are open, that their spirits are ready to receive from you. Not only knowledge of the world, but knowledge of the kingdom of God. And all of our professionals who are strategic in their efforts, allow their strategic moves to be that which is touched and sent by you. So when they make decisions, it'll affect everyone in a positive manner. We come today believing those things to be done in the mighty name of Jesus. We're sending them out of here, but not away from you. We're sending them into the world so they can show the world that you yet still have all power in the palm of your hands. Cover them, keep them, and bless them. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Let every heart say, amen. Amen. You can return to your seat. Glory be to God. Somebody give God some praise in here for the covering. Amen. As they return to their seat, we ask that our officers will come down for the purpose of tithing and offering.
Running over,
cheerfully this morning. Blessings
running over.
Because we know when we give unto the Lord, he's going to bless us.
Running over.
Some 10, some 100 fold. Hallelujah. Stay pressed down.
Pressed down. Shaking together. Running over. Running over.
Say pressed down.
Pressed down. Shaking together. Running over. Running over.
Come on, do this with me. Say pressed down.
Pressed down. Shaking together.
Running over.
Running over.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Running over.
Say press down.
Press down. Shaking together. Running over.
Hallelujah. That's how he's going to give it back to us. Say when you give.
When you give unto the Lord.
Father God, we come down to say thank you, Master, for these blessings that have been given here today. And we pray, Master, that these blessings become a blessing to someone else so they can lift them, Master, from the pits of life. We ask now these blessings in your Son, Jesus Christ's holy name, we do now pray. Let the heart say amen.
Good morning, everybody. How many of you are blessed this morning? Is everybody blessed? Well, you need to let the Lord know this morning that you are blessed. Did you wake up this morning? Did he start you on your way? Well, then let the Lord hear you say, I am blessed.
Tell the world that I am blessed. I am.
blessing me.
Blessing me.
Oh,
yeah.
My Lord.
Lord, Lord, Lord.
You've been blessing me.
You've been blessing me.
I can tell the world. Tell you what you ought to do. Stand up on your feet and join in with me and let me hear you say I'm blessed.
I am blessed.
Let me hear you say I'm blessed.
I am blessed.
Let me hear you say I am blessed.
I am blessed.
Let me hear you say I'm blessed.
I am blessed.
Let me hear you say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
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 Let me hear you say thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
Let me hear you say thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
Let me hear you say thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
Let me hear you say thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
Who gave you food and clothes?
Thank you, Jesus.
Who clothed you in your right mind?
Thank you, Jesus.
J-E-S-U-S.
Thank you, Jesus.
J-E-S-U-S.
Thank you, Jesus.
Let me hear you say I am blessed.
I am blessed.
Let me hear you say I am blessed.
I am blessed.
Let me hear you say I am blessed.
I am blessed.
Let me hear you say I'm blessed. And
I
can
blessed.
Tell the world.
Anybody here feel like they are blessed? Anybody here know that they are blessed? Somebody ought to be giving God some praise in this house. Amen. Amen. Man, sister trying to push me to sing. I ain't about to do it. Amen. Amen. Yeah, we ain't got enough. We don't have enough time. Amen. I want y'all to leave here so that pastor may have been up all day. He just had to sing that song, didn't he? Amen. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. What an awesome, awesome job. Give our senior choir a hand clap of praise. Amen. Amen. When we started the Running with a Purpose project, I never expected the seniors to be the ones who lead us into it. But they are surely leading us into running with a purpose. And we ought to be glad because they are inspiration to us that no matter how old you get, no matter how your body aches and hurt, if you put your trust in God, there's nothing you can't do. Somebody ought to give God some praise in here.
Amen.
Amen. Now, if you have your Bibles with you, turn with me to the book of Judges, chapter 6 of the book of Judges. We'll begin reading at that 36th verse. Judges chapter 6. There's an Old Testament scripture. Judges chapter 6, verses 36 through 40, and it reads, "And Gideon said unto God, If thou wilt save Israel by mine hand, as thou hast said, behold, I will put a fleece of wool in the floor, and if the dew be on the fleece only, and it be dry upon all the earth beside, then shall I know that thou wilt save Israel by mine hand, and thou hast said. And it was so, for he rose up early in the morn, and thrust the fleece together, and wring the dew out of the fleece, a bowl full of water. And Gideon said unto God, let not thine anger be hot against me, and I will speak but this once. Let me prove, I pray thee, but this once with the fleece. Let it now be dry only upon the fleece, and upon all the ground let there be dew. And God did so that night, for it was dry upon the fleece only, and there was dew on all the ground. Amen. For a few moments, I would like to talk to you from the subject, God will silence your doubts. God will silence your doubts. Amen. And my proposition to you today comes in the form of a question. Are you still looking for a sign? Let me ask that question one more time. Are you still looking for a sign? Let me open this sermon by giving this disclosure. I'm going to say something that may be considered contradictory or controversial. They will be said to make you think about the level of your own faith. My hope is that by me saying these things, you will look at the quality of your relationship with God, and it will make you address the unhealthy doubts that are in your thought process. Because if we are all honest, and if we confess today, the truth will be told if we all said that we have doubts. I know that we've been taught as Christians we ought not to doubt, and we should not doubt, but the honest thing is we all have doubts.
That's right. Amen. Come on.
Because we're not robots, we're human. We can see the trouble, we can feel the trouble, we can sense the trouble, we can taste it, we can smell it. And sometimes it's so formidable that we have doubts. The Protestant reformer Martin Luther wrote that doubts is the monster of uncertainty. He said that doubts can lead a gospel of despair. And then the poet Alfred Lord Tennyson said, there lives more faith in doubt, in honest doubt, believe me, than in half of the creed that we have in church. Now, listening to these statements makes me want to ask a couple of questions. Can doubt and faith coexist in the same space? Or is doubt simply an emotion or a cognitive response? Doubt is, according to scientists, a mental state in which minds remain suspended between two or more contradictory places and uncertain times. So doubt basically is or can be an emotion or it can be a cognitive response. But truthfully, it is something that lingers in between the two.
All right.
Or sometimes it can be an emotional response, and sometimes it can be done because of intelligence.
That's right.
We have doubts because we like to look at the facts of things. We like to weigh things.
That's
we like
right.
to see things. We know what should be and what shouldn't be.
That's
and because
right.
of our intelligence, we have
That's right.
doubts. Doubt is this. Doubt sees the obstacles. Faith sees. Doubt sees the darkness in the storm. Faith sees the light that is to come. Doubt sees the strength in your enemy. Faith sees the
the opportunity for God to show his mighty hand. So the question is doubt an enemy? Is doubt something that we should never have, or is doubt something that we can have, but we must have it in a healthy fashion? Because there are some doubt that's not healthy. The doubt that you never get rid of is unhealthy doubt. It's called cynical doubt. That's the doubt when you say that nothing can change how you feel about something. Nothing can change your mind on something because you know that what you know is right. But I want you to understand, when it comes to God, what you know that you know is right ain't right all the time. Because God can change what you think to be right to be wrong, because God has the power to undo and to do everything he wants to do. Oh, is doubt an enemy of faith? But when we look in our text today, we see Gideon, one of God's judges. God called to deliver Israel from the Midianites. He experienced several moments of doubt. When God called him to be a judge of Israel, Gideon said, "I need proof that it's you who's talking to me." Sound familiar? When God called us to do something that we don't see, we question, first of all, is it you, God? And if it's not you, God, then why are you calling me? Because I can't do that.
Amen.
Like Gideon, many of us question God because we have doubt. When God gave Gideon the assignment to deliver Israel, Gideon said, "I need another sign. I know that you burned up my offering with your angel. You consumed it with the fire to show that it is you who's talking to me, but what you're asking me to do, I still need another sign. What I'm going to do, I'm going to take a fleece. I'm going to take this wool coat. I'm going to lay it on the floor, and what I want you to do, I want you to let the dew fall, but only fall on the coat. Keep everything else dry." And God said, "You know what? Honor your request." God allowed the dew to only fall on the wool coat. And the Bible says that he was able to take that wool fleece and wring enough water out of it to fill a bowl. You would think for Gideon that would be enough. But Gideon said, "Don't be mad with me. I have one more ask of you." Sound familiar?
Yes.
That sound familiar to anybody in the house today?
Yes,
yeah, I know I'm standing on your toes because God done told you that he appointed you to do something. And instead of doing what God asked you to do, you doubted. Amen. And not only did you doubt, but you asked God questions about what he wanted you to do. Gideon said, "That's not enough. I need you to do one more thing." That was a neat trick. "Now I need you to show me that it's really you. This time I want the dew to fall on everything but the wool coat." When I was getting prepared for this sermon, I kept saying, "Ouch." Because I wanted you to know the word swing both ways.
Right.
The Bible says it cuts two and four. It cut you and it cut me. Because I remember in my life when I doubted God so much, when God would ask me to do stuff, I wouldn't do it, and I have questions for everything God asked me to do. Because if it didn't make sense to me, it didn't line up, I wasn't going to do it. But sometimes God needs you to just do something off of sheer faith.
Amen.
Oh, God, have mercy.
Yes, your doubt have its place, but your doubt is not to ever stop you from doing the will of God. If your doubt stops you from doing the will of God, then your doubt is unhealthy. But if your doubt will give you strength and power to do what God said to do, then your doubt is health. You don't have doubt. Doubt is an inherent part of faith. If there is no doubt, there's no need for faith. Did you hear that? If there was no doubt, there would be no need for faith, because if there was no doubt, then we would be like animals. Anytime God says something, we will move. We instinctively move. But since we're not animals, we're human, we have a will. Our will sometimes buck against God's will. And when our will bucks against God's will, that's where doubt comes from. Because what he's asking don't make sense to our will. What he's asking don't make sense logically. Well, let me tell you, God don't do things logically. The logical stuff you can do yourself. Amen. God does supernatural things. So when there's doubt, I want you to know that's a human response to God asking you to do something supernatural. Amen. Not that you can see it, you can't hear it, you can't understand it. You just have to move when God says, move. Gideon was having a tough time. He asked God for 3 miracles. But I want you to know that 4th miracle, God did it without him asking. God said, I want you to go to battle against the Midianites. And the Bible says that they had so many soldiers, it was like counting grains of sand. You couldn't count them all. And Gideon went to battle with just 32,000 men. And when he arrived to the camp, God said, you got too many men. Wait a minute. You're going to tell me I only have 32,000 men, and I'm about to fight an army that you can't even count the number of men that they have, not unless the camels that they have. They have more camels than I got men. God said, yes, you have too many. Some of us have too much stuff in our lives. Yeah. Some of us got too many things in our lives. Amen. And because our acquisition of things, we have not come to a place where we feel that we can question God when God tells us to do something, because we reach a status that thinks that we think have put us in a place where we're stable and we don't necessarily need. I hear you saying, Reverend, I always think I need God. No, you don't. Sometimes the stuff we have blurs our view. Sometimes the stuff we have make us think that we don't need God all the time. My brothers and sisters, you need God every day. Yes. All day.
Yes.
Some days you better pray he never takes off. You know how we are called in the morning, I'm sick, I can't make it. Amen. You better pray. God never calls and say, I'm sick, and I can't make it. The day that God says, I'm sick and I can't make it, will be a terrible day. Not for just you, but for all of us. Because that day that he takes off, the enemy will take over. Some of us, because we got stuff. We think we have made it. God says, get in, you got too many soldiers. He says, I want you to ask those who are afraid to go home. The Bible says 22,000 men went home. Oh. Left Gideon with 10,000 soldiers. Right. God said, you still got too many. Yeah. Wait a minute. I'm finna go to battle against an army that's so large that you can't count them? Listen, church. Some of us think that what we are doing is for us. What I want you to know, what you're doing is for God. Amen. As the song said, this battle is not yours. This battle is the Lord. Yes. And it must be fought the way that God wants it to be fought.
That's right.
I'm having a terrible time with them glasses. We're going to leave them be today. Gideon thought that the number of men is where the power lives. Many of us think our power is in the number of stuff. My bank account, my house, my car, my children, my status. God says that is not where your power is. Let me show you something. Gideon said, get it down to 300 men.
Preach fast. Preach.
I want you to take 300 men. The thing that got me about the scripture was not that he gave them 300 men, but he gave them 300 men with no weapon.
Yes, he did.
He said, I want you to take a glass jar in one hand.
That's right.
And a trumpet in the other.
There you go.
He said, what I want you to do, I want you to surround their camp. And when time is right, I want you to blow your trumpet and say, in the name of the Lord and for Gideon.
Yes.
300 men with a trumpet and a glass jar.
That's right.
Y'all don't believe me? Look at the text.
Yes,
they didn't have a weapon in their hand.
Yes,
but you know that number of three is God's number.
Amen.
Somebody give God some praise. God said, take those 300 men, that trumpet and that glass jar. I want you to break those glass jars, and I want you to blow the trumpet. And as you charge, I want you to blow it loud and watch me work. Church, God will silence your doubt because he will destroy your enemy in such a fashion that you would know it was him who had all power and not you. God doesn't need your strength. God doesn't need your knowledge. God doesn't need your money. God don't need your political alliance. Only thing that God needs is for you to have faith in him. But think our politics and our places and our status going to get us to where we need to go. God said, if you allow me to do it for you, I'll do it in such a way that those people who you think are more powerful than you are bow down to you. God said, I will silence your doubt. IT job that I have, they thought they were going to fire me because I didn't take crap off of the boss's wife. So they moved me laterally, had plans to get rid of me. I went from being a supervisor to being someone who got to report back to a man every week. Write it up, tell him how long it took me to do what I was doing. They had plans. They were building paperwork. But they didn't realize I had somebody in my corner. I prayed to God. I didn't call the owner of the business because he can't help me. This was not a natural thing. This was supernatural. He's only a man. He couldn't help me. So when I got on my knees, I called on God. And by the time that thing got to the end, not only were they giving me a promotion, but they were giving me more money. Oh, somebody ought to give God. God gave me a $21,000 increase because of how I handled the situation. And my enemy came and thanked me for how I handled the situation. What I'm trying to tell you, that if you got doubt, God will silence your doubt if you do it the way he needs you to do it. Because if you do it the way he needs you to do it, God will get the glory. Somebody ought to give God some praise in here. God said, I will silence your doubts.
Yes, sir.
Because I would do it in such a fashion, you would realize you had nothing to do with that blessing. It was me who was carrying you. It was me who was blessing you. It was me who was sustaining you. It was me who was seeing you through. It was me who opened the door. It was me who made a way. It was me who gave you everything that you need. Somebody give God some praise in here.
Our Father will silence your doubts. The doors of my Father's house are now open. If there would be one, the time is now. And the Bible says, find God while he is near, for surely there shall come a time where God cannot be found. The doors of my Father's house, there will be one to join the church today. Make your way up front. There will be another.
In the Lord, I will trust.
If there's another.
In the Lord, until I die, I will trust. In the Lord, I will trust. In the Lord, I will trust.
Amen. And we're still growing. Amen. 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 Give God a hand clap of praise for that. Amen. Amen. We have quite a few people out today, but I want you to know that I think that's number 14 in the last year. Amen. We've had 14 people join in the last year. Glory be to God. We're doing something right. Amen. Amen. God is good. He's still honoring us. Amen. He's still honoring our efforts. So let us make sure that we become active in the ministries that are here. Make yourself a part of this, because God says that we ought to work while there is day, for sure there shall come a time when man cannot work. Amen. Night comes and you're not working, that's not a good thing. Amen. What you do for God will last. What you do in the world will die here in the world. You can't take that to heaven. But what you do in the kingdom of God, you can take to heaven. Amen. Amen. We ask now that the officers will come for our communion. As they come, I ask that you pray silently. Deacon Scott, if you would, please join us. Amen. As they come, let us bow our heads. Father God, we come now, asking that you be with us, that your spirit would cover us in this hour, in this moment, for this is a very serious time. For we need to make sure that we are in good standing with you. Because the word said that if we take from this table and we're unworthy, which means we have some issues with you. And I know man says, well, what issues do I have with God? Well, in the model prayer, we find that there is a disclosure at the end that says that how can we say that we love him whom we have not seen and don't love those who we see every day? And the Bible shares with us that if we have aught or fault with our brothers and our sisters, which means we have not forgiven them of their trespasses against us, that you will not forgive our trespasses against you, and that we should not even pray. If we have an ought with our brothers and our sisters today, we should not eat from this table nor drink from this table, because if we are, we are going to eat and drink damnation unto our soul. The Bible even says that some of us are asleep, and some of us have even died because we have taken from this worthy table unworthily. We ask now, Master, if there's anything in us that's not like you, if we have issues with our brothers and our sisters, remove them so we can eat from this table freely and drink from this table freely. We ask that you bless us in your Son, Jesus Christ's holy name, we pray. Every heart say amen. Thank you.
cross where I first saw the light, and the burdens of my heart roll away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I'm happy all the day. Well, thank you.
Master, we come now to say thank you for these blessings that you have bestowed upon us today. And we pray, Master, as we leave this place, that we go in your grace and in your mercy, that they cover us and keep us from all attempts of the enemy. Keep us safe and sound, that we can return back to this place where you have chosen to place your name. As in your Son Jesus Christ's holy name, we do now pray. And all God's children sing.
Spoken.